So the Olympics are over. Now, if you're anything like me, you're not a huge fan of the Olympics. For me, it's just a bunch of people that are more fit than I am, competing in sports where I don't quite understand the rules. And then everyone getting very excited about getting a gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal. And it doesn't register on my list of like things to get excited about. But one thing I do like about the Olympics is the stories that come out of it. So you have stories of triumph over adversity. So one case was the Irish gymnast from this Olympics, who over the course of his short life has lost the ability to walk twice. Both times the doctors have said, you'll never walk again. Both times he's promptly said, yes, I will. Not only learned to walk again, but is now competing in the Olympics. And I think that guy really is a show of, like, just courage. And in preparing for this sermon, I was kind of struck by another story from this Olympics, which turns out fits quite well with our theme of passing the baton. And this is the American relay runner, Mantell Mitchell. Now, for anyone who might not be aware of what this story is, imagine you're running a race, and you're running fast, and you've got your baton in hand, you've been training for this for years, and you're going to pass the baton on to the next teammate, you're going to do it for your country, and partway through, your leg breaks, and not in the kind of cracked kind of way, in the audible snap kind of way. Now, if your reaction to this turn of events would be to collapse on the ground and cry, congratulations, you're a normal human being. However, Mantell Mitchell didn't. He finished the race. He passed the baton on and then presumably then collapsed and cried. And I want to say this morning that as we look at passing the baton, as we wrap up this series on 2 Timothy, that Mantell Mitchell running on his broken leg is how we as Christians are meant to live our spiritual life. What I mean by that, I will explain, but let's get into it. So we start off with verse 2 of chapter 4. And this is really the charge. This is where Paul is telling Timothy, go out and evangelize. This is Paul passing the baton to Timothy. He says, you know, evangelize in good times and in bad times. Rebuke, you know, encourage, correct, and really emphasizing that aspect of it. You need to be evangelizing no matter what the circumstance. You need to evangelize because there'll come a time where people will stop listening to good doctrine and they'll start listening to what they want to hear. I think today we can see that in our own culture where you can go into any bookshop and there's a whole section of self-help, how to become fit in 5 steps, how to become rich in 10, how to find the inner you, how to change the inner you to the you that you want you to be. And it's this sort of people wanting that 10 easy steps for $50 a month to find some answers. And likewise, we see it within our own faith. People who selectively read the Bible about the parts where God talks about blessing and riches, but neglect the part where he says that we need to give and we need to be poor. They read the bits where God talks is a judgment, like talking about his judgment, but neglect his love and vice versa. So we tend to read, or there are people who tend to read particular elements of God. But Paul here is telling Timothy that you need to be dealing with the whole thing. You need to be dealing with the truth. And even when people stop listening, you need to keep soldiering on. And we can see this sort of passing of the baton is similar to the Great Commission, which we just read in Matthew 28, verse 16, where Jesus was passing the baton on to the apostles. He says, go out and evangelize, go out and make disciples of all nations. And so we see the same thing here, and it's the same thing that we're being told today. Go out and evangelize, go out and make disciples, go out and tell the truth about the gospel. Be careful, be cautious, ensure that you're telling the truth. And when I was thinking about this and noticed just how much there seems to be a focus on telling the truth, it made me realise that with an athlete, you can't just rock up to the Olympics. You don't have someone rock up on the day just going, all right, guys, I'm ready to race, slightly overweight, don't quite understand, you're holding the baton in the wrong hand, the they're standing in a kind of weird way, kind of wobbling, and then going, I'm going to race it, I'm going to win. You're not going to go very well. You're going to be a laughing stock. It's not going to go well for you. So there's a need to train. For us to pass the baton, we need to ensure that we're passing the correct baton. And the way we do that is we read the Bible, we go to church, we go to Bible studies, we pray, we invest ourselves in the truth and we immerse ourselves in the truth. So that when it comes to sharing the truth, we know exactly what we're delivering. We know that we're holding the right baton and that we're delivering the truth. Like an athlete, some days you just don't want to wake up and do that training. I'm sure there's everyone in this room has on one Sunday morning gone, you know what, it's cold. I'm gonna worship God by sleeping. And you've promptly done that, and you might feel a little bit guilty. And I realise that saying this to a bunch of people who are already at church might seem a little bit silly, but ultimately we've all been there. We've all had those mornings where it's hard. We've all kind of come home from work or school and just gone, you know what, I might just not read my Bible. I'm going to worship God by sleeping. And like athletes, sometimes we just need to push through that sort of those hurdles and do the hard yard because we need to know the truth. But then there's the flip side. Likewise, if you've been training, if you know exactly what you're doing and you've got the baton and you run, you pass it to the next person and they promptly look at the baton, sit down, throw it in the air and just go, we win! Again, that's not going to look great in the newspapers. You need to ensure that the person you're delivering the baton to understands. They need to have it in their head that they actually know the truth. So we see that with Paul and Timothy. Paul has invested time and energy into ensuring that Timothy understands what he's meant to do. He understands the truth. I encourage everyone here to go back, reread 2 Timothy and read 1 Timothy and just see how much Paul is telling Timothy, all right, you need to make sure you know this, you need to make sure you know that, you need to make sure that you get this. So then when it ultimately comes to chapter 4 where he passes the baton, he's completely confident that Timothy knows what he's doing. So that's the first point. And I suppose considering this series is called Passing the Baton, considering that the baton has just been passed, you could probably leave the sermon there. And, you know, everyone would sort of go, oh, well done. Hopefully. But that's not what athletes do. Like, when you finish a race, you don't see the athletes just pretty much stop. And they just go, well, that's it. That was a good race, guys. Shake hands. No, they have a wind-down phase, don't they? You see it in the swimming that they jump into a warm pool, then out of it, then into it. And I don't really understand why. There's reasons for it, no doubt. But there's that chill-down stage. And part of that is reflection. And so we see that in chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul goes, I've fought the good fight, I've run the race, I've kept the faith. There's a crown of righteousness awaiting me. I mean, this is a man who's looking back on his Christian life and saying, you know what? I think I did it. I think I did good. And he's reflected on it and he says, I've done all I can. He's made mistakes, but ultimately he has gone the hard yards. And so he's fought the good fight, he's run the race, he's kept the faith. Now, back to Mantell Mitchell. If he had just collapsed, if he had, you know, just not finished the race with a broken leg, which turns out broken legs are a somewhat diminishing thing to running. If he had stopped, do you think anyone would have gone, should have finished the race? Just harden up, man. It's only a leg. Just look, you know, if I was in the Olympics, I would have finished it and everyone would love me. Like, no, I think breaking your leg in a running race is one of those things where people would go, you know, fair enough. What a tragedy. And I reckon even afterwards, he would look back and just go, well, what else could I have done? I mean, I broke my leg. Of course I couldn't finish the race. But the fact is he didn't. The fact is he finished the race. And now he can look back and just go, really? There was nothing else I could do because I finished a race with a broken leg. Go me. And I want to say this morning that as Christians, That's what we're called to do. In 2 Timothy alone, you read that we have to suffer through hardships. So chapter 4, verses 5, and chapter 3, verses 12. I encourage you to read those because it talks about how the Christian life is hard. We're called to endure hardships. Now, Paul was a man who definitely did suffer some hardships. If you know anything about Paul's life, you know that he was often being stoned, running away from people, getting harassed, being put in prison. Like, this was not a guy who had an easy Christian walk. And while I hope that the hardships that everyone here faces don't really amount to being concerned about having rocks thrown at you, the fact remains that we are called to endure hardships, just like Paul did. And more than that, we're not just called to deal with it once. So I think we can be tempted to go, all right, well, I had a really awkward conversation with someone, that's it. I don't have to have an awkward conversation with someone again. I can tick that off my list. And I can say that from personal experience, because over the last week, I had a very awkward conversation with two friends, where the girl, there's a boyfriend and a girlfriend, the girl's a Christian, she found I was a Christian, so she said, Liam, what's your opinion of sex before marriage? Me thinking that she was looking to, like, for some backing up for her position on it, I was like, well, I think the Bible's quite clear. No sex before marriage. The awkward silence and conversation that followed turned out this was not an opinion shared by that couple. And so it was a good conversation. I'm glad I had it. But afterward, I'm thinking, well, I don't need to deal with that again. I've had my awkward conversation. Tick that off the list. And then a quiet voice reminded me, it's like, well, actually, you're probably going to have the same conversation with them eventually, and this time the boyfriend might not be silent. And the reality is that we are called to not only deal with hardships, but endure. We're called to continue the race, not just after one broken leg, but after several. And that's pretty confronting, isn't it, that you have to deal with these hardships. But it's so that when we reflect on our day or our week or our month or just our Christian walk, can we say, I've fought the fight, I've run the race, I've kept the faith? Because sometimes I'm not sure if I can. It's confronting stuff. But so far we've talked about Paul has passed the baton to Timothy. Paul has ensured that Timothy understands the truth, and Paul has also ensured that he understands the truth that he's sharing to Timothy. So the baton's been passed, and then we're told that, and guess what, guys? It's really difficult. That this walk that we're on is full of metaphorical broken legs. It might be that you this morning, you're afraid that if you share your Christian faith, that you'll be mocked at work. That if you're openly Christian, maybe your kids will be bullied. Maybe you're afraid that your incredibly anti-religious boss will actually fire you. I mean, these are hardships that are very real and hardships that we're called to face. But so far, you could say that this sermon's been a bit of a downer. We've talked about, yep, so if it's cold and rainy, you have to go to church because you need a train. And that, you know, it's going to be hard, but, you know, suck it up and endure it. And so far, not that sort of happy, smiley sort of stuff. It's actually quite challenging. But luckily for us, that's not where the sermon ends. So there's point three. So you look at chapter 4, verses 9, and you start seeing Paul say, and guess what? Everyone's abandoned me. So Titus is somewhere. Who else? Oh, there's just everyone. All these friends are gone, right? So all these people that were meant to, like, stand by him have just gone, you know what? I need to go to another city for a while. Bye, Paul. And he's gone. So he's alone. He's saying, hey, guys, can you just see me? Only Luke's here. I just bring Mark. I'm lonely. I want some friends. Which seems like quite a sad end to someone's life, where he's just saying, I'm lonely. You need to come and see me before I die. But that's not where Paul ends it. Paul says, but God has been with me. God be my rock, God be my backbone. When I was at the court and everyone had abandoned me, everyone had deserted me, God was at my side. We read in Psalms, the victory is God's. Paul says that God was at my side so that I could spread the good news to the Gentiles. I want to say this morning that yes, we are called to endure the hardships, to run the race with a metaphorical broken leg, but we're to do so with God being our crutch. God's carrying us, God's at our side, God is lifting us up. We're not doing it alone. Like Mantel Mitchell, you could either view it, what he did, as brave or stupid. And I think a lot of the things that we do as Christians could be seen as brave or stupid. But through God, we can do it. Through God, that we can actually finish that race. We can pass the baton on despite having a broken leg. And I want to say this morning that if you find the idea of immersing yourself in the truth to be a daunting task, I just want to say that imagine your best friend. So my best friend is here today. He's come to visit from Launceston. And the question is, would you rather get to know your best friend or some stranger and decide that that stranger is what your best friend is like? I want to say this morning that if you love God, then it would make perfect sense that you would want to get to know who he is. You don't want to get to know some other kind of God. You want to get to know the whole picture. You want to get to know this being that loves you and died for your sins. So it makes perfect sense that we would want to immerse ourselves in the truth, because we should want to get to know who he is. But also, in the Olympics, what do you get when you finish a race? A gold medal. It looks good. People are happy for you. You get your national anthem being sung, and it's quite a nice moment. When we finish our race, like Paul, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting us in heaven. I think one's better than the other, honestly. So I want to say this morning, be encouraged, run the race, and when you finish your race, there'll be a crown of righteousness waiting for you, and that'll be better than any gold medal or anything else the world can offer you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that everyone be encouraged, that through you the victory is had, that through you we can run the race no matter what the obstacle, through you we can endure whatever hardships, and that through you we can learn the truth and share that truth to other people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.